Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started. Jay Randall.
Oh, hi.
How's it going, buddy?
What's up, Bri?
You know, a little lonely in this room. Last week you were here sitting next to me, and now you're back in Tennessee.
How's it up north?
It's actually nice, dude. It's beautiful here today. It was like mid-70s, I think. Slight breeze, but super nice. Super nice.
I was going to say, I'm starting to feel this humidity that just like never go away out here.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. It definitely happens. Boys and girls, Facebook, YouTube. I know we're streaming this on Drew's channels as well. Obviously, we got Mr. Drew Gregory in the house tonight. But real quick, guys and gals, before we get started with Drew, there was some changes to the standings of one of the recent KBF tournaments. So the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League stuff has been locked, so you can't change your teams until that all got straightened out. But tonight, probably right after the show, you guys should be able to go into your lineup for the coming weekend's event. It's Hobie on Chickamauga, and I think there might be one other one as well. But we got some emails, some Facebook messages, stuff like that. Guys, it's getting updated. Should be open tonight to change this, your team players for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing event. It wasn't on our end. It was from one of the KBF events, the Laurel River one. So that's all going to get updated. And second quarter just ended, so we're going to have a fantasy show coming up here probably next week to get all those updates out and all that good stuff. So just wanted to throw that out there for you guys and gals. I know everybody's itching to get their lineup set for the fantasy teams. We got Chris Slifka in the house. What's up, everyone? Joshua Tatum in the house. Are you talking about the Sholi tonight? I mean, kind of have to, right?
We don't have to. We can just pretend it doesn't exist.
I mean, let's get some input on that. Are we talking about the Sholi tonight, Mr. Gregory?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the Sholi, we need to talk about it with the capital S Sholi. So this is going to be the capital S Sholi. If it's lowercase, you're talking about the fish. If it's capital, it's the kayak. So there we go, Josh. So, you didn't capitalize it. So I don't know. You want to talk about the fish or what?
So that's the definitive between the fish and the boat, I see. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get that out of the way. Well, I mean, that's a good place to start, right? Like, I've been thinking about this, and you know, I don't want to take away from what the guys on the Final Cast did. That episode aired this morning on the podcast platforms, our Facebook or YouTube. Drew Sound like really went through all the details of the boat, and obviously we're going to talk about some of that tonight for sure. But the name of the boat, right? Like, you're a river guy, right? Your first signature boat was the Coosa after the Coosa River. Now you went to the Sholi, which is after the fish. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, I don't know, man. I guess I just sat down and thought about it's like naming a kayak is very hard. You know what I mean? It's like naming a child, man. It really is. Like, it's going to be with them forever. It's going to, in some ways, dictate who they become. So to me, it was like, how do I describe this unique fishing watercraft? What's up, Mark? Shout out to Mark. Lives right near me here and runs our fantasy league for well, before there was the fantasy league for, you know, the kayak anglers or whatever, our MLF fantasy league. So shout out to Mark. But sure. But anyway, the name is just tricky because you want it to be catchy. You want it to describe the boat as good as possible. And to me, I knew I was designing something that was very out of the box and unique. And fortunately for me, James Durbecker, the owner of Crescent, was, you know, which I mean, that's kind of why I'm there, right? You know, director of fishing for the company. So he kind of trusted me to let me do something unique and special. So I thought, well, what could be a special and unique, you know, name? And, you know, that fish has just always been with me since it's what really struck a chord with me about fishing rivers and kind of got me into this and got me hooked, I should say, really. And I owe a lot to that fish. Honestly, there's no telling what I could be doing in life or where I could be if it wasn't for that special fish and growing up in Georgia there where I did. And so it's very unique in its characteristics and the way it behaves and acts and the waters it lives in. It's Micropterus cataractae, which is cataractae embossed inside the front tank well, which is pretty cool, which is fish of the waterfall. So it's just got a lot of unique things about it, right? And I thought, well, this is like a perfect, like, synergy and symmetry, if you will, symbolism to name it, because I feel like the boat is unique in its own way, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways, like the fish. So that's kind of where that came from, and it was catchy, and that's something I'll give, you know, credit to James. You know, he fought back with me a little bit. I wanted to name it the Shoal Bass, actually Shoal Bass, and he liked Shoaly. I thought Shoaly sounded a little, I don't know. But now that we've named it the Shoaly, I'm glad he pushed back on that one and really went for Shoaly instead, because it's a better name, in my opinion, than Shoal Bass, looking back on it.
I'd have to agree, man. It's short, you know?
Yeah.
It's a clever name, man. It's catchy. Yeah. And who doesn't want to go catch Shoal Bass? You know, I continue to hear about them. Some of my buddies down in Georgia, you know, they keep saying, when are you coming through, bro? Like, I thought you wanted to do this. So
exactly. I'm excited. And the coolest... oh, go ahead.
I'm just excited to actually hopefully make it down there right before ICAST. So
that'd be cool. Get your first Shoaly. You know, that's a tough time of year to catch them, but it's, I mean, they're still easy enough to catch. You know what I mean? You'll get one. You're not going to catch, you know, 30 or 40 in a day probably, but you'll definitely catch one. And the coolest part is I was able to, I had an idea. I said, well, this fish has done so much for me, and this is a nice tribute to name a kayak after the fish, but I wanted to do more. And that's where I came up with this idea. I said, hey, James, what do you think about giving some of our, this is hard conversation to have with the owner of a company. Hey, what do you think about giving some of our profits back to the fish? You know what I mean? To the Flint River Keeper this first year and different organizations that, you know, basically help take care of their habitat, you know, restoration and, you know, preventative measures, you know, like a lot of river keepers there, they file a lot of lawsuits on our behalf, you know, folks that actually don't live on the river and folks that live on the river, both of us, everybody really. So I thought it was a cool thing to do. And he was like, yeah, I think that might be cool. And now that we've done that, we announced that we're giving money, part of the proceeds. Hopefully we'll give a nice size check at the end of the year to the Flint River Keeper. It won't be as much as we can give next year when we have a full year of, you know, manufacturing behind us, but in a winter to build up some inventory. But anything's better than nothing. And just getting awareness about the Flint River Keeper out there to others who, of course, will have a donate button on the website if it's not up there already. I know we're working on getting that together. I just wanted to make sure I did something so different with this boat and even start a trend, hopefully, in the industry to, you know, with the kayak and the paddle sports, you know, to give back in some way with every purchase, not just, you know, take everything, but give back some, because we can't do this without them and without the fish, right? And the beautiful rivers and lakes and waterways. So I thought it was a nice touch there.
I agree, man. When I saw the walkthrough video and you guys had kind of talked about that, man, and I was like, how cool is that? Super awesome. You know, I love buying from companies that do that type of stuff. Like I buy Oboe's hiking shoes, and they plant a tree for every pair of shoes you buy. Like that's their way of giving back and, you know, helping people enjoy the outdoors, I guess. And, you know, there's a, I did a podcast with these guys, these bracelets, Ambilico. They make these bracelets out of recycled fishing nets. And what's cool is when you buy one, you could donate. And what made me think of it is the organization you're talking about is one of the ones you could send your money to. they take a portion of their profits and send it to them, man.
That's cool.
Super cool, man. It's an incentive to buy a product and feel good about it and give back at the same time.
That's very cool. Hey, I'm looking at the comments here. I see a lot of awesome folks out there watching tonight. And if you guys are showing up, some of you guys are showing up as Facebook user, and we don't see your name, but someone says congrats Drew on the new yak. Somebody else says, what's up, fellas? If you can, you got to go in. What is it? Jay, Brian, you guys know you got to let StreamYard allow StreamYard to access or do something.
That may be it. I'm not 100% sure. I know like this streams to some of our groups, and for some reason, when it's on a group page versus the actual paddle and fin page, it comes up that way.
Yeah, if you go on to like paddle and fin, you can actually see their actual names coming through.
Okay.
Or like any of the feeds, but not the StreamYard for whatever.
Not our stream. So our stream, we can't see everybody. All right. So someone says it's Nick. So Nicholas somebody.
Beltran.
So there it's you
Nicholas
go.
Beltran. Anyway. We were just talking about that in a group chat or a private message. He's like, I don't know what it is, man. Every time I come in, it says Facebook user. But no, it's good stuff, man. And I commend you guys for doing that, especially with a brand new boat and Crescent isn't a huge manufacturer, right? Compared to maybe like Hobie or Old Town. I think it's super cool. And, kind of going into that, like, I want to take a step back. Like, how and why did you get joined up with Crescent? Like, obviously you kind of became a free agent, right? And you parted ways with Jackson and you had a great career with them and you did some really wonderful things, but then how did the relationship form with Crescent and how did this all come to fruition?
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, you guys remember the COVID year was crazy. Companies didn't know what was going to happen with their futures, and a lot of companies were already hitting some tough times, especially in, early in this, like for the kayak industry, the cash flow is not good all winter long. And COVID, of course, hit in March, where you still aren't really getting kayaks quite out there yet and getting them sold. Or at least if you give terms to your dealers, they might take some kayaks in March or February. They're not paying yet. Anyway, times were tough everywhere at Jackson, everywhere. We didn't know what the future held. And so, unfortunately, Jackson had to make some cuts. They had to furlough some folks. And, it just caused me to just kind of look around and see, maybe there's another opportunity out there. And, got to pay your mortgage somehow, right? So
right.
Without being, having income or committed for a while, I was like, well, let me look around, see if there's any other opportunities or possibilities that I can kind of, find. And I just I called around to some dealers and some folks, and I looked around the website, kind of looked at all the brands and reached out to several. I mean, I've got so many close contacts in this industry. It's such a tight, family industry. And there's a lot of folks out there. I won't say their names, but they helped me out so much. And I talked to a lot of the brands and the companies. And honestly, it was just a God thing that the fit just worked with Crescent. I mean, they were sort of, like you said, they were up and coming. They were starting, I think, with the dealers especially, and this sort of just organic, like, I don't know, this culture that they developed, it was already kind of like really coming to a head.
Yeah,
so I could kind of see the potential in that brand and that company. And the more I learned, and I joked around on one of the podcasts, one of the ones I did, I don't remember which one, but by the way, like you said, go back and watch the one if you really want to get on this boat hardcore, the one with Matt and Brad over there, that's the final cast.
Yep.
Right. That one was awesome. If you guys want to go back and listen to that. But anyway, I did a lot of digging on the company, Crescent Company, and James Durbecker. So he's the owner 100%. So it really is a family owned company, and it's him. It's not like split between a lot of on the family. It's him and that's it, and his family. So that was really cool. And they were just kind of, the molding experience that he has, he grew up with a rotomolding family, and a rotomolding family. So if you can imagine, just, you see a lot of folks out there. I don't know if it's an actor or an athlete or somebody, that you look at their kids and you're like, you know, who was that? Steve Irwin, the remember the
a crocodile passed away, guy?
The crocodile, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
His son, my wife showed me an Instagram thing of his son, and he sounds just like him. He's grabbing animals. He's look. It's like, you know, he's pretty much just the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And so when you grow up in a rotomolding background like James did, like people don't understand how hard it is to rotomold a good product. It's not like it's not as easy as it looks. Like, because no. I mean, consumers, I know you guys out there listening have probably seen, you know, things happen with your kayaks, and some stuff naturally is just going to happen. And it's hard to tell it's going to happen until the use of a consumer for a year or two, right? But with the proper forethought and someone with the experience of rotomolding like James, I saw that potential in my head. I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's the part I'm lacking, right? And they got great, you know, platforms already for fishing, but they're not like the Scholey, you know what I mean? They're not this specialized fishing line, which is kind of the line that I'm designing, right? So that's what we call it. That's what the FS stands for on the Scholey SF, whatever, specialized fishing. So it's kind of a perfect fit because he had that and he had the manufacturing down. He had the business down and, you know, running and has the dealer network and everything kind of already in place. And once I talked to dealers and I saw what the consumers were saying about the boats and how quality they were, and I got in some myself and you just could see how structurally sound they were and solid. I was like, man, I think we can pull something off here pretty special. So that's kind of how it all came together. I talked to him. We had a couple brief conversations. We met in Atlanta one time in person, and we kind of felt the same way on so many issues, even down to just the vibe and the culture. And when you see the Crescent brand, go look at the Crescent website, because James is very much like, he's an owner unlike any owner out there I've seen. I mean, there's some others. I mean, Blake's a good example at New Canoe, super hands-on, right? He is that way down to everything. And when you look at the Crescent website and everything you see posted, it all has the same feel and the same, you know, brand identity. And that's his creation. And it's very like carefree, happy, you know, it's not purely any focus. It's not like just fishing or just wreck. It's very everything, you know, about paddle sports focused. So anyway, yeah, you can see it right there. It's just very fun. It's family friendly, family oriented, the color palettes, everything there. It just works. He has a really good eye for that design. And our marketing director, Justin, does a great job along with them now to just really make this thing pop into our sort of culture and vibe. And it's sort of grown into something that's gaining a lot of steam and momentum with folks out there. We have an owners group that's growing tremendously every day. And they're very, here's what's cool. It's a Crescent owners group on Facebook. And this is crazy, guys. I've never really seen any fighting, any bickering, any arguing really. There's, you know, disagreements, but people are able to actually go on there and talk about them in a civil manner. And that's because of that vibe that our company continues to bring. And we're fans of all the other brands. We love everybody. We love them all. We're not afraid to, you know, be friends with everybody out there. And we're just not we're kind of like in the middle. We're not of Sweden or whatever it is, Switzerland, right? We're neutral, if you will. Sure. And we're just happy to be in this space, man. And so glad people are excited about the brand.
No, I completely agree with that, man. Like, James has been on a podcast before and seemed like just a super chill, down-to-earth dude. And I mean, I've never personally talked to him, but everything I've seen in there with him, the way he's in depth with it and hands-on, right? Like, that's super key for these smaller kayak companies, and the vibe you lay down is your reputation, you know. So you got to kind of hold true to that and make sure it stays, you know, like that. And it's good to see that, you know, the online community too. You know, like, obviously me personally, New Canoe guy, whatever, and it's the same way in our owners groups, you know. Once in a while you may have a bad seed in there, but you know, it happens.
You guys have a good vibe, dude. New Canoe really does. A real positive. Yeah. And it all comes from the owner again. Blake's awesome. Yeah. So that's why.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Completely agree with that 100%, man. So So you go down to Georgia, you meet with James, and you're like, look, bro, you're going to make my next boat. Is that how that works? I'm just curious, because I was gonna fly to Blake's house and just go sit down.
Do the same thing, yeah.
I'm ready to make a boat. Let's do this.
It's kind of, not like that, but obviously, but there's a lot of, there was this sort of thing where he had a nice full line already kind of done, and he just needed one more boat. He was wrapping up. It was the CK1 that ended up coming out, and then it was kind of like, hey, I feel like my line's pretty filled out, and where do I go next? This was a logical next step. And so, yeah, it just kind of worked out, man. It was just kind of a match made in heaven. I'm from Georgia, and so what's beautiful now that I live in Northeast Ohio, here in Kent, Ohio area, in between Cleveland and Akron, is, you know, my in-laws are up here. My wife's from here originally, and that's how I ended up from the south up north, which is kind of odd for, you know, most fishermen, right? They don't go south to north, they go opposite. But what's great is I still get to visit my family when I'm down there. I get to be in the state, you know, that I grew up in, and it's just a perfect match, right? You know, that the shoal bass is down there as well. So it's just a nice little fit, man. Nice little reason to get down there. So it's worked out really well, and no complaints here. I was a little bit, I think he and I both were like, how is this going to work? The design process is challenging. There's a lot of design language that's different than it was at Jackson. We do things a lot different, you know, at Crescent. And so that's the only place I designed in the past. But I knew if we could get what's in my head into, you know, real life, into a boat, it would be awesome. I knew it would. And I was concerned. I know he was probably a little bit at the beginning. How's this going to work? And as we just sort of talked through everything and all the features, it just sort of worked out. I mean, I can't believe it's worked out as good as it has, quite frankly, because you've seen the boat. It's awesome. It's getting rave reviews. So proud of everyone at the whole, you know, all the Crescent family and team at the factory that's worked so hard to make this possible. But it's just been an incredible experience. And now I'm super excited, because now that we've done one together, and it was challenging, but not that tough. I think we've got our design language down. So the next one's going to get a little bit, you know, easier and easier and easier from there. So definitely been pretty cool.
I want to pop this up. Matt Gowing said, I've never met a guy with dreads that wasn't chill.
That's a good point. That's like the comment of the night so far.
Yeah, definitely. 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 Mark Bradford's in the chat, says, I love my Sholey. Congrats, Drew.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's super interesting, right? Because when I watch the walkthrough video, I'm like, yeah, this boat is so Drew. Like, just all the little details and aspects that you put in it. And I'm sure it was a collaboration between you and James, like you said. So I'm not trying to take away from him at all, but
sure.
You know, it's super unique and interesting. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, I wonder who's going to do this next. Wonder who's going to do this next.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, I think you know, we've seen a lot of different changes and improvements and things like that in kayaks across the board in just the past 5 years, right? Like, you know, and even since the first Coosa, right? Like, I mean, when I look back, I look at the Coosas like one of the, like, the first ultimate kayak fishing kayaks, right? And it's super interesting to see all the little details in the new bar that you guys kind of set with this boat. You know what I mean? And all the little aspects. So, like, when you guys sat down to design this boat, did you sit down and go, all right, I got a list of things that we need to incorporate into this?
Yeah, pretty much. And so just so you know, that to kind of clarify that, I mean, James gets, and I give him all the credit for all the parts that he, like, again, it was this perfect match, because he knows hull shapes and design. He knows manufacturing. He knows how to create something that's strong, durable, you know, running the business side of things, the mold, all that. And then he also knows how to make things look good. So in my, all the ideas on the kayak, it's just him and I that designed this. That's it. And basically the fishing ideas and the features and concepts, those are all mine. he made them look good, you know what I'm saying, on the boat, and also did all the other stuff, like I said, the hole and everything else. But and then he pushed back on a couple things where they didn't end up on the boat, and that it might have been too complicated, or maybe it was going to bring the cost up too much, or just some things are business decisions, right? Sure. And that's where he kind of came in. So yeah, I basically came to him and said, here's all these cool things that I think would make a kayak just even more comfortable. And it sounds crazy, but it's so true, guys, that this kayak, it can't tell you where to go cast or where to go find the fish, but it can make you a better angler. You know, it's like, it's probably, you know, minuscule what it can do, because kayaks really can't change you as an angler. But the part where they can is if you actually listen, I don't know if you have yet, but the one with Brad and Matt, the final cast, there's features that aren't even on the walkthrough video that we couldn't even get to, like the little hook sharpener recess and the line cutters recess and little things like that on the boat. There's several actually little hidden features we couldn't get to on the walkthrough and keep it kind of short, you know, real short, like we wanted to, or short enough, I guess. It was 20 minutes already. But what it can do is you can, if you're more comfortable out there, you're more confident, right? So you can be more comfortable, and that's going to, you know, make you happier, more confident. The little things like the hook sharpening stone, the line cutters, the catchboard recess, so you're not moving a catchboard around. So just think about it. If you moved your catchboard and it bumped your kayak and it made a noise, you may not know this, but you might have spooked a fish, and you didn't. And then that next cast you made, you didn't catch that fish. That sounds crazy and far-fetched, I know, but you add that up. But what about how many times you probably should have sharpened your hook, but you didn't even think about a hook sharpener because you're not maybe at that level of you know, your, I don't know what the word is, you know what I mean? Like you're fishing, you're not a seasoned veteran where you've realized and lost enough fish with a dull hook point to where you bring one and keep it in your life jacket or something. But the fact that that's there, if it's right there, and then you can go on pretty soon. We'll have those hook sharpeners for sale at crescentkayaks.com in our store. But, and you sharpen your hook and it allows the hook to penetrate through and hook one more fish. Even if it's one more fish out of every 10 trips, it's one more fish, you know, and then you didn't spook the fish from the catch board because it stays right there. Or the hole is properly made and maneuverable enough where you didn't hit that log and flip over. You just missed it by 2 inches because that hole was maneuverable enough to get the job done, to get you to avoid the obstacle and get away. Instead of cleaning up a yard sale on the river, the lake, or whatever, you're making more casts, catching more fish. And I use this analogy a lot about how at some point Olympic swimmers, you know, shaved all their hair on their bodies to gain like 0.003 seconds.
Just does that for fun. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Just not my face. Like I get a lot of drag on my face.
A lot of drag, huh? Yeah.
I think my growth might have a little bit to do with that too.
Sorry. I had to throw that in there.
No, that's good. That's good stuff. But you get the point. I mean, it can make you a better angler in those ways. And it can make your life more comfortable and just more enjoyable on the water. And even fishing that first tournament that on Lewis Smith Lake that I happened to just win. It was so fun. I mean, forget the fact that I designed the boat. I was just out there and I was like, this is so freaking fun, man. Like my catchboard's right here. I'm just putting the fish there. Boom. My hook sharpener's here. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Boom. I need to retie more often than I do. Line cutter's right here. Snap it off real quick. Tie another one on. Boom. Back in the game. It just was so much fun. Like everything was where it was supposed to be. I had I need a strap to drag my kayak to the river or the creek or whatever. And so I just, my cam track handle system I came up with, I just loosened the whole 7-foot strap up, put it over my shoulder, and took off. And it's like, it's all part of the kayak. Like everything is just kind of seamlessly integrated. It's just so much fun to fish out of. You know, it was just amazing, man. So that's kind of where, I guess what's what we're seeing with the reviews too. Other people are just really excited about, you know, the boat and I get it, man. I love it. I can't wait to get out of mine. You know, here this
just
weekend,
all the little details that went into it are just cool, man. It was, like I said, when I watched that walkthrough video and you guys basically started at the front and I saw the handle and the cam strap and I was like, that's freaking genius. That's super cool. And then you go to the rod storage inside and all that stuff, cool, man. And it just kept compiling. And I was like, good freaking job, man. You guys crushed it. which is super cool. We got a great question in the chat, and I'm interested to hear your take on this. So Josh Bauer says, what are the best improvements of the Scholey from the original CUSA?
I mean, the original CUSA was needed to be redone anyway. It was a 2010 project. We were completed in the late 2010. So, I mean, the whole deck, think about it, 2010 gear tracks weren't even integrated into kayaks, right? So that tells you how far behind, or not behind, but how much really that, you know, technology has changed since then.
Sure.
So the biggest improvements probably were, you know, like maybe integrating that anchor wizard, or, you know, putting the gear tracks, obviously updating the top side of the deck just to get it current. I mean, the CUSA hole is still one of the best holes out there, like, period. It's amazing river for the river and moving water. It's a great hole. I mean, it's awesome. So I don't know if anything really needed to be done to the hole, but it's just the deck, you know what I mean? The deck, yeah. That, and that's sort of, and this is, we talk a lot about rivers, but the cool thing about the Scholey is it's kind of, to me, the most surprising thing I've seen from the public and all the reviews, which I wasn't expecting. Because we designed it, I wanted to make sure it's the Scholey named after a river bass. You know, I'm a river guy. We wanted a good river boat. Crescent's got a ton of good flat water products already. So we definitely wanted to make sure there was a priority on a river boat, right? A good river boat, aqua tough plastic, just tons of cool, tough features for the river. Everything seamlessly integrated. So nothing sticking up all over your kayak, like the board game mousetrap, you know, that's not how,
sure,
you know, you should fish on the river. I'm not saying you're wrong if you have rods sticking up and all that stuff. That's your style. But, you know, the likelihood of you getting hung up is a lot less when things are seamlessly integrated. So to answer his question, that was the main thing, to integrate things. You know, if you're going to have a fish finder, it needs a cubby where it's going to be flush down in there. Anchor wizard, flush down in there. Boondocks landing gear, flush. You know, everything flush in there. The rod storage internally. So you have some protection from extra rods that you may want to bring. The rod saver on the front hatch, everything from the length, the rod butt stagers on the deck of that thing, yep, and the floor. And there's another little set just under the seat. When you're in big waves, flat water or river, it prevents them from sliding around. And of course, if your rods slide around on the deck, their tips are also sliding around, colliding, getting hung up. So I definitely needed a lot of cool features like that for to be a good river boat, and to kind of update some things that, you know, the original CUSA and the CUSA HD, you know, technology just, wasn't there yet. So, but I was surprised and just shocked at how many people did say, though, that it was a good flat water boat. Like, they were like, man, this is amazing. This tracks really well. And that's because those three channels we have, on the hole. So I was just, that's probably my biggest surprise, how well it tracked on flat water and how well, you know, people are just saying, this is going to be like my new lake and pond boat. I love it. And then especially if they're going to add a motor, which, by the way, I just finished up my motor guide video tonight, and I'm going to upload that to YouTube probably when we get off here or in the morning, on how to install. That's one of the biggest questions I've been getting, how to install that XI quick release bracket on the bow with that gear track.
Gotcha.
So, but anyway, yeah, I was just shocked at how well this is getting the reviews for flat water performance. And I knew it was good at flat water. I just don't think about flat water as much because I don't really care as much about that. You know, I wanted it to be a good boat for where I like to go. And then on flat water, I don't really care a ton because I do fish so many tournaments now that I've got a motor. So I'm putting the motor on there, and trust me, it works really good with the motor. So
what do you got against us flat water guys, bro? You've always had a grudge against us. What is it? What is it,
hey, man?
Do we look funny? Do we smell weird? What do you got against flat water guys, bro?
Dude, nothing, man. Come on. I stepped into flat water on Grand Lake when I the Bassmaster had to
to
slum it. I had to slum it on some flat water with the commoners.
Commoners.
And catch some of your spawning bass over there.
Oh my lord.
Okay, I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah, Cole's got a good question over there. I don't even know if I can answer that one, Cole.
Ken had a great comment. Flat water is the boring part of the river.
Yeah, it, no doubt. No doubt. And by the way, we're going to, Ken, we're going to get back on with that River Bassin podcast here soon. I was going to do one tonight, and then we had this going, and I've been under the weather. It's been crazy, but I know we need to do another one of those here coming up soon as well, to talk about so many things. Yeah, Kobe, your question is tough, man.
Is there anything you could give us there?
I tell you what, just let me think on it a little bit. I remember one thing that I wanted was, oh man, I had a good one earlier that I was thinking about the other day. I was like, man, I should have fought for that harder, but there's not really a lot. The one thing I wanted, I think I like the graphic. I was trying to incorporate a little bit more of the bars of the shoal bass, like kind of like a smallmouth has the bars of the shoal bass, somehow to kind of like make a graphic that somehow incorporated those more organic looking bars.
Sure.
You know, the straight lines, but I mean, I love the logo now that it's here, you know, I love it. It looks great, but that was the original thought process behind that. But dude, there's something else that I was thinking about the other day that I wish I would have fought a little harder for. I can't remember what it was, but it'll probably come to me. And something that, you know, James, I bet you he would say that anything that he didn't want on the boat, now that the boat's been out and he's seen the reaction from people, because to me, it's like, even the little things, it's like that hook sharpening stone and the line cutters. I always go back to those that are just like,
it's,
you know,
unique,
or how, you know, I don't know, just all these little things that I was kind of fighting for, like it's a big deal. You know, he's, now that it's come out and he's seen the reaction from the angling community and everybody, he's like, oh wow, like this was a good call. This was a good call. We've had many conversations and texts back and forth about, that was a good call by you, and that was a good call by me. Sort of, you know, back and forth to each other.
Sure, 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 sure.
But there's something. There's Scott in the comments. What's up, Scott? Scott Butcher's been crushing it over there, running the show over there in Carrollton, Georgia, at the Crescent Kayak Factory.
He says, look at these hammers, but the only hammer is him in the comments, bro. Just saying. Where you been, Scott? I miss you, brother.
He had a good episode with Armando, Jeff Little, and Scott.
Yeah. I listened to that. It was really good with him and Jeff. Some really honest conversation there, which was super awesome. And it was good to hear Scott's voice on a podcast once again.
Heck yeah.
And super great episode that released on Paddle and Fin this week on Tuesday. So go back and listen to that, man. We miss you, brother. So you mentioned the XI3 on the front. So now in return, a bunch of the Torquedo / Newport vessel motors questions are coming up. Like, how easy is it going to be to rig on this boat? And foot steering, I saw as well. Set it up with foot control steering.
Yeah, easy. Super easy. So, man, it's like, I think Ryan Van Tine made a comment earlier about my brain or whatever. Like, it's, and if you listen to that podcast, you know, where we go over the whole boat with you know, Matt and Brad, you'll see what I'm saying. But I mean, I really had so much time to think about this boat and just meticulously went over it. I mean, obviously I'm an angler, you know what I mean? So like everyone out there listening to this, and I've done it for a long time. And so any little thing I can think of that'll increase the value, I mean, I did. And it doesn't matter to me that I'm with Motor Guide. Torquedo's set the bar in this industry from the beginning when they started their movement, right? So I wanted to make sure we incorporated some little bump outs, right?
Sure.
For the tubes, for the Torquedo lines. And Jeff Little will have an install video coming up on that, because he's got one now and he's working on that stuff. He did a great first impressions review video. It's like 30 something minutes long. It was awesome when he and Scott and our boy Nate, the intern over there at Crescent, as well, all went out and took it out for a little, you know, a little paddle. But yeah, I mean, it's easily rigged with the Newport, Bixby, Torquedo, whatever. You could throw a rudder on there with those lines if you really wanted to for some reason. But yeah, those little bump outs make it easy.
I got a feeling Butcher's going to be on plane with his 1103 in that boat, just ripping across the lake.
Yes. It's gonna move. It's gonna move, but it's, you know, it's not a speed.
I was gonna say with the means,
but it'll move
with the forethought of, like, you know, the design and everything and the Torquedo. Did you reach out to Little or anybody else? Just, I mean, I know you obviously know about torpedoes and how they get set up. But
yeah,
Jeff is obviously like, you know, the expert that everyone goes to. Yeah. I mean, so did you reach out to him?
I did.
Just to kind of
get an idea? Yeah, I did, man. I reached out to, you know, I've been fortunate to do this a long time, a lot of years. I know so many people in the fishing industry and the kayak paddle sports, obviously, but I reached out to a lot of people. I mean, to incorporate their products and make sure we got those products sent. We got the dimensions. We got everything accurate. Jeff was a really good source. He had some really good input, not just on, hey, we need this for the torpedo, just, you know, overall, you know, layout and the balance, mm-hmm. you know, the weight, that center point and all that for, you know, the purposes of the torpedo, for example. And so, yeah, he had some good stuff to say. And I reached out and he's very helpful as always.
Another legend of the river. I mean, you're mm-hmm. obviously a legend of the river as well, my man. But like, you look back like in the young history and that of kayak fishing. And that's something that they talked about briefly in that episode with Armando earlier in the week was, you know, what Jeff's been river kayak fishing for 20 years or something like that, which is crazy when you think about it.
I'm glad he doesn't fish tournaments, man. I'll say that right now. I'm on the record. I'm just so glad Jeff's just doing his thing. Doesn't want to get in the tournaments because he'd be a hammer.
That sounds like a challenge right there. I'm just saying.
You know? He's done them before and he's performed very well. So I know he can do it. Just, you know, obviously it's not what he wants to do and he's happy doing his thing. And you can see how happy he is. He's going across the whole country. He makes great. The YouTube channel is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the little stuff and his reels and everything he's doing on social media. He's obviously having a really good time and very happy. So, you know, if you're happy, Jeff, you might as well just stay happy. Just keep doing that stuff. Don't
just
worry about
stay away from the
just
tournaments.
Stay there.
I think Jeff should go for like a new, like a rebranding. We should call him like Locks Little. I mean, I've watched that dude's hair grow for like, remember his hair was like super short. And then all of a sudden you're like, what? Like this dude's like growing his hair. Like that's his shoulders, you know,
Locks Little.
I think that was
he's definitely
got Locks some Little versus Drew Gregory.
Locks Little. There you go. Challenge is on.
I like it. It's super cool, man. Like, just again, man, all the details that have been put into it. So let's run through some of these. We'll go from front to back and we'll just do brief ones. We don't have to go into super depth. That you guys could go listen to the final cast for like the super in-depth stuff.
And if you want to pull up the website, you can
look at
some of those pictures and scroll down.
It's there. Yep.
Yeah. And it's a man, that final cast was, God, man, like an hour and 50 minutes. And
it was almost 2 hours.
It takes a long time to go over all the features, but it sounds crazy, but it's still such a simple kayak, really. It's like, it's weird. It's like super simple, but a lot of the features are molded into the boat and integrated. So, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how it takes that long, but there's a lot of stuff, but there's not a lot. I don't know. Not too much, I should say.
You want this picture or is there?
There's a bunch of down below there. You get into the actual, I believe, there, if you keep going down.
You could just play the video.
There we go. Yeah, so there's like, oh, man, there's all kinds of rod management systems like you see here, starting with the Rod Saver. So I reached out to Rod Saver. They obviously are the guys who started the movement on the deck of bass boats with the Velcro that you know, when the guys crank up the outboard, obviously Velcro your rods down on the deck and just go. I wanted that there to obviously you see there in the shot, you got one of them outside the Rod Saver, one of them inside, but really the main purpose for me with that is just to, let's say your rods are in those grooves there and your rod staging grooves on that front hatch. And you know, you come up with some white water or something, you know, you can strap them down real quick. But my main thing really is once I leave the river or the lake or whatever, then I just throw that on top of the rods. They're all right there. I put them there and then I just throw the kayak in the back of the truck and go. They just ride like that, just like they would on a bass boat. And then I throw it in my garage or wherever. And then next time I want to go fishing, throw it right back, you know, back and forth. It's easy. There's not a lot of moving stuff in, moving stuff out. They have a home where they can live. So that's pretty cool. Then there, you can see there's the one over there. It's Yeah, it's that one on the top right, actually, right now. It's a rod. It's actually a Yak Attack Padlock paddle holder, which has kind of been reimagined in my mind to be a what we're calling the rod holster. So you can pull a rod out. It's basically a taco style. It looks like a taco.
Yeah.
Taco style paddle holder. But obviously a paddle is basically the same width as a rod butt, same width as a net. So it's kind of been reimagined and repurposed and angled at a very low angle backwards. Again, making it really good for not just rivers, but anyone who's in a kayak. I feel like you should be taking advantage of the kayak and going underneath dock cables and underneath trees on the bank, getting different mm-hmm. cast angles that bass boats can't, right? To take advantage of what you're in, a kayak. So that's cool. You can zoom in. Nice. So that right there is angled back real low, and there's a bungee that can secure them down, but really the compression of the taco shape will hold it in, and so you can just pop it out real quick. And then, you know, actually that one isn't, it's not fully in that component, I don't believe. It's actually turned the other way. There you go. There's a better way to shove it right there. So you can pop that out real quick, and I like to have that behind me. On my left-hand side, I'm always going to have a bait, like a Z-Man Streaks, that if a fish misses a buzz bait or topwater, whatever, anything, spinner bait, chatter bait, doesn't matter. I'm always going to have my Z-Man Streaks rod, soft plastic jerk bait, right there on my left hip. And I'm going to pull it out of my rod holster. There's no bungee I have to undo. The compression holds it. So I'm just grabbing the rod and casting, just firing it out there. So that's pretty cool. But the other side, I like to put my paddle there because it's the same thing. I don't have to fumble with the paddle, pulling it out of some tube. I can just, which is kind of cumbersome, you know, you got to turn around and while you're fighting a fish and then pull it up and out of a tube. But now you just literally drop your hand and it hits your net and pull it out of the compression of that taco style, scoop up your fish and you're good to go. So it's kind of been repurposed and reimagined there on the back, that piece. But then you can see the rod butt stagers on the deck there are pretty cool because those rods are kind of laying in those grooves. So you can see they're kind of below the deck a little bit and they're not going to slide when you're in big waves. So that's just a lot of cool rod management systems on this entire kayak. It's not like putting anybody in a box to do something a certain way because it always has the gear tracks there and all the other normal systems you see on other kayaks, other than it doesn't have any tube rod holders, but that's pretty easily solved by, you can install some or get a Yak Attack Black Pack or something like that or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. So there, and it's got internal rod storage you see right there with that hatch with two tiers. Now, I really haven't seen many, you know, negative comments on the boat, but some people have, it's not negative. They're just, maybe they don't really understand that this tank well, the front tank well, that hatch is fully watertight. So every single kayak, when they cut that front hatch out to give you all that space internally for camping gear or whatever, they have to cut it out. All we've done here on this boat is given you the option to leave that system in place, which there's some flanges, some holes basically that those rods go in, and they obviously go inside the entire hole and are very protected. They're not bouncing around. But if you don't want all that, like you don't want that deep compartment there, that deep level for a battery or other gear, and you don't want it to be a tank well, you can just trim it out or go to your local dealer. They can do a nice, probably a cleaner trim that you can maybe with a Dremel or whatever whatever you might have laying around. They probably have some better tools. But what I suggest is you can cut out any of the levels there. If you want to cut out that deep level, you could still have access internally and keep your rod storage, you know, there as well, with those little grooves for the rod butts and the upper tier. Or you could cut out the upper tier and then stick stuff down inside the hole there and still leave all the rest of the rod storage there. So that's pretty cool for transport. You can add a third rod there as well. It only shows two, but you can add a third flange and have three there. And, you know, those holes are only big enough to hold bait casters unless your spinning rods are shorter or you bend your spinning rod guide a teeny bit forward. That last guide's a little bit too big. But, you know, people are kind of like saying, oh, man, it's not going to hold my spinning rods. Well, I guess you got to keep those on the deck. You know what I mean? And then your extras, you know, if you have extras you're storing, you could keep in there. But or cut out holes that are a little bit bigger and put bigger flanges on there. But maybe in my mind, I was just trying to keep it where it was only going to hold bait casters because I'm trying to teach people that you're going to catch more fish if you start to learn how to throw bait casters. So
so now we're anti-flat water, anti-spinning rods.
Anti-spinning rod. No, I'm just kidding. I can ask them out every once in a while, but I rarely throw a spinning rod for sure. But, I mean, you look at –
let me ask you this real quick. Can it fit the micro spinning rods? You know, with the small guides. Rods on
yeah,
them?
Sure. The micro oh, yeah, guides? For sure. It actually fits my spinning rods, my 13 fishing spinning rods, which aren't micro guides. It fits them. But I just bent down that last guide a little bit forward to make it fit in there, which is not really a big deal to me. Some people may not want to do that. I just had to bend it a little bit.
Sure.
But it's no big deal. You can cut it out and put a bigger one in there, a bigger hole or tube. And maybe that's something we'll add in, you know, next year or an upgrade to make it a little bit bigger there. But it's not a big deal. And it's something that's not, the good news is that's not something that's part of the mold itself. That's something we can still change. So
that's a good thing. Super cool, man.
Yeah.
Super cool.
The problem would be like, oh man, this boat tracks, you know, like if the hole didn't do something right, or if it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if your feet didn't reach the foot pegs, or I don't know, things like that have to do with the actual mold. That would be a problem, but things like this, that's easy. You can still solve those.
That's right. So all you flat water commoner spinning reel people, you're okay as long as you bend a couple things on your rod. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Drew said that.
Yeah. And, if you break a guide, call Drew.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
Drew's got your
Who needs that first guide? Just, yeah. No, all kidding aside, I totally get it. For real. The spinning rod, I pick it up when I have to, but my whole goal is to net, because I want to cover water and power fish. My whole goal is to find fish somewhere in a lake or river. I don't have to pick up the spinning rod, because the truth is most pros out there, they are catching most of the fish on bait casters. You got more power. You can horse them in. As far as tournament guys go, you see more pros using bait casters than anything else. And there's a reason for that. You know what I mean? It's not like just happenstance. They've all figured out that the best way to catch bass and the techniques they're using are better suited for bait casters. And again, you know, spinning rods for certain techniques they're definitely necessary. I'm not saying that they're not, but you know, if you haven't learned how to, you know, throw a bait caster, I highly recommend it. It's going to make you a much better angler for all your heavier baits, heavier lures where you need heavier line and stuff like that, and power.
I like it, man. I like it. Molded in innovation. Moving on.
Yes, we've got places on the side of the seat for your Plano boxes there. You've got so molded in cut out there. You got the catch board recess, which comes with a standard crescent pad kit there.
So I got to ask you this. It has the
inches on it. Yeah.
I got to ask you this. How much did Duke pay you to put that in there?
Duke, man. Duke can have anything, kidding. Buddy. I know. I mean,
I'm just kidding. Hey, I got to give Duke a hard time when I can.
You should owe us some money here. Some back pay.
Yeah.
But the cool thing was he was always willing to help out with anything. And he loved the idea. He actually is one of the guys that saw the very first prototype of this thing.
I remember you called me when you were over there.
Yeah, I did. I think I was heading over to La Crosse last year and going right through that area. So I took it to him so he could see it. And yeah, obviously, you know, he loved it. What's not to love if you're a guy that's making catch boards, right? And there's a recess for your product
right
in this boat. So I have a feeling Duke will maybe even make some other cool stuff that could even go in that recess just for this boat. Who knows? But
nice.
That'd be cool to see something like that. I'd like to see a flush pad kit. You know, that pad kit's recessed there, and it's so that you're, when your catch board's in there, it's quiet and it's kind of flush. Excuse me. Kind of been under the weather, so I'm going to be fighting a cough.
And I thought it was super cool that you guys put in the inch marks too, because like me personally, half the time when I'm just going out fishing for fun, I'm not bringing a catch board with me, right? Like,
right.
What's the reason for lugging it around if I don't absolutely need it? And, this is nice too, because now you could kind of be like, all right, well, I caught a couple 18s today when you're talking to your buddy or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
You know? I thought that was super cool that you guys incorporated that into the deck pad.
Oh yeah. You know what? What was that question? Who had that question earlier about something I was kind of like wanting and I didn't get, right? This is the perfect example. Here we go. I finally found one.
All right.
I wanted, and I'm sure this could be something we end up changing. I wanted somewhere on that sidewall or on the pad kit that you see right above the catch board, there's a pad kit. Maybe later you'll see a picture of it if you scroll down, and it says just SF, the words SF, right, for specialized fishing. I really wanted something that said Sholey. It's like when people are taking pictures of their, right there, it says SF. I really wanted something that had the Crescent logo or had the word Sholey, the model, to be in those pictures of their catchboard fish, right? And all we have is SF right now. And James is holding true to the way all the other Crescents are done, because in that same exact spot on the pad kit, you see the UL for ultralight or the LT for light tackle, right? So he kind of kept it true to form. I was really wanting the Crescent logo or the word Sholey somewhere, either on the wall with a molded in graphic or something cool like that there. But, you know, maybe that's still something we could always tweak and adjust. But anyway, it looks cool. We have the graphic on the board, but if you put a fish there, then you don't see the Crescent logo.
Sure.
Anyway, that's one little thing. It was so minor. Yeah, but
that's right. Where the fish?
Yeah, it'd be covered up there. Yeah,
maybe.
And I haven't been watching.
I was going to say ahead, maybe you guys offer a deck pad, like alternate deck pads, that can be on the boats.
Yeah, for sure. We actually have been throwing around, you know, doing another pad kit, because there's areas of this boat that I would like to see pad kitted. Scott and I have been talking about that a good bit here lately too, about putting together a separate one and some other cool features and accessories, maybe throw it together in like a whole package. So we'll share some more details about that once we get it together, but there's other spots that I would like to see silence. But the key is this: you don't want to make the price of the boat go up for everybody. And the more pad kit you get into, the more the price goes up. And some people may or may not want, you know, every little teeny spot silenced or padded.
I wasn't watching the comments because I was scrolling through, zooming in on photos, and Butcher's over here taking shots at me and saying I'm not catching any fish. Take everything back that I said nice about you about 5 minutes ago. Just saying.
We can still block people, right?
Yeah.
Future, you're blocked. Scott's
over there saying, he's over there saying the kayak's been out 9 days. He says, give us a minute to get some accessories together. It's very true. We are very swamped at the factory. Like I said, I'm under the weather. The reason I'm under the weather is because I went straight from winning this tournament to releasing this kayak to all my family there, driving back home. And dude, I had to mow the grass. I had to triple mow this grass to get it cut down low enough. I mean, it's crazy. My house was just crazy. So anyway, but then all the media and all the stuff that's kind of happened from the positive, you know, feedback on the Sholey, it's been, I mean, a little bit, you know, unexpected, quite frankly. I thought it was a cool boat, but how cool it was is kind of worn off on me, because I've known about it for, you know, a year or more since I designed the thing. So it's been a little nuts, and it just definitely has gotten me. I was sick for, gosh, 3-4 days, non-COVID, thankfully, but I'm finally getting a little bit of voice back. But anyway, the factory is in the same situation. It's been chaos over there. So huge shout out to everybody at Crescent who's working so hard. They put in overtime hours. They don't get enough credit. And I'll always, since I kind of am the one that fortunately gets to be a voice for the kayak and the company, and people see my face a lot, but I always want to make sure I shout out the folks at the factory, because they are doing such a good job, working so hard, and we don't have a boat without those folks. And you know, Scott leads a great group of folks over there. And I mean, and we could talk about all the folks, you know, in customer service, and Jeremy's just killing it. Neil, our guy there, is amazing. Jamie, just the whole crew. So I just want to say thanks to them. I know James and I get a lot of the attention on this stuff, and I'll always get more, but I always want to make a point to do that, because it matters a lot to those folks that they know how, you know, how important they are to us, and we're nothing without them.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize like how many people behind the scenes are actually turning the gears and making things come out, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I love the extra deck pad kit, man. I know that's like, you know, something New Canoe offers, and it's cool to have that option, man, especially for some of those areas like you're talking about, throwing extra padding on. To me I love it, because it deadens the sound. You drop something, kick something, you know, all that stuff, man. It just makes it a quieter deck overall, no matter what the boat is.
Oh, for sure, man. Trey Johnson says, Drew, you look tired. I'm not saying that to be a whatever, but you look exhausted. He's right, man. He is. I've been whipped. My wife's been killing it too, just doing so much with the kids and everything. Just been so amazing. I mean, I wouldn't I wouldn't tell her this, but I guess you'll hear it on the podcast. But I mean, on the drive home, I wasn't texting and driving, but I was voice texting back to a lot of the comments, you know, that I saw people asking, because the questions started firing off fast. Boondocks and Anchor Wizard and all the integrated products, they started getting calls immediately looking like, when are y'all going to have the product out for the Sholi? When are you going to have the, you know, when is this special kit coming out? And so I was responding to a lot of comments and questions on video and whatnot in our owners group, because it, you know, obviously it's like a piece of me, you know, this thing. So I take a lot of personal responsibility and
sure,
having to get back to answer to set the record straight before some, you know, incorrect narrative gets out there. You know, it's kind of like, like the narrative about the front tank well. It's like, hey, if you want camping gear and your whole inside of your kayak, cut the whole thing out.
Right.
We're just giving you that option. Cause if we cut it out beforehand, if the people that want the tank well, which I think is probably the majority, not an overwhelming majority, maybe like 75-25 or whatever, 60-40, but I think most people would want the tank well, then cut it out.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. Like, if, you know, so anyway, I just like to like make sure everyone, I don't know, just gets the best information possible at the very beginning of the launch of this boat. It's going to save us a lot of headaches down the road.
For sure. Yeah. A lot of people like to jump or they see the boat and then they start getting ideas. Like, I could do this. I could do that. You know, is this going to be available? And, you know, they kind of push you to get that stuff done and out there, man. So it's good that you're trying to stay ahead of it for sure.
Yeah, man. What else is next here? High, low seat. We have a new seat. It doesn't look different, but it's a 2-inch, I think 2 or 2.5 inch thick foam on that seat.
Which,
there's another.
I love that, dude. Yeah. That is huge. When I heard you guys on the walkthrough video that you guys did the inserted foam, kind of like a kayak cushion, right, that everybody uses. Now it's already in the seat. You know, that's super awesome.
Yep. And then obviously high-low seating there. And then you can see those rod staging grooves right there on the forward-facing seat picture. There's some grooves that go underneath the seat that you can get your rods a little bit further back. So you've got rod butt staging grooves right there. Yep. The cool thing about those and the ones that are right on the floor is if you fish a typical length rod, you know, 7 foot range, 7 foot three, whatever, when you put your rods in those grooves there, the tips of your rods go literally just over the front of that bow, exactly perfect, where you don't have any length of rods sticking out to catch on something. You just have that little bit needed to where your bait hangs over the bow, which is really cool. Yeah. How the length of this boat, everything was just perfectly, you know, kind of laid out and thought out.
Super cool.
So there's
these are the notches. These are the notches you were talking about, right?
Those are your rod staging grooves. Yep, exactly. Yep. And when you put them in those other little rod butt stagers under the seat, I mean, your rods go and lay perfectly flush on there. You could swipe your hand across the top of that and never feel any of your rods. So it's pretty cool. And then when you put the rod saver on top of it to secure them to drive or going down rapids or whatever, or just rough weather and water, then for sure they're going to hold. But yeah, that's the iPhone holder there. It's something pretty cool. I could see the future of the sport being live streaming. And obviously we like to take selfies out there on the water to send our buddies. So that is a perfect little spot to hold your iPhone. And nice. It's right in the, what we're calling the fish finder cubby, probably even a bad way to describe it, but I want to make sure people realize what that's for, because really it's just a cubby. And so that's the thing. If you don't want your fish finder there in that location, cool, put it on tracks, you know, where you normally would have a fish finder. But if you want it flush and out of the way, put it there. Most 9-inch units and below fit perfectly. My 10-inch Garmin fits in there fine, but you have Hummingbird. 10-inch definitely isn't going to fit because they just have a lot of extra stuff going on the sides besides their screen. They have the most, I guess, space. But anyway, it keeps it flush, and it's kind of like the difference between, you know, your flush-mounted GPS units and your in trucks these days, as opposed to those the beginning ones, the TomToms that just – and the Garmins that just suction cup to your windshield, right? So now you got something flush in there instead of on a gear track out to the side sticking up and in your way. So that's what that is. And then the scupper right there is where the transducer goes to a transducer scupper. And then, of course, on the backside where the iPhone holder is, backside of that wall, if you drill straight through and into that, you don't have to drill through. You could go up and over through the rod stager grooves. You could put your wires in that front hatch, and that hatch was made, you know, as you guys just saw, there's two levels to hold a battery, and a very big battery can fit in that lower level, which is deep. It's real deep. So Yeah, that right there. Super down deep. Here, so you, right? You actually will hold like a trolling motor size battery all the way in there. That's slick. So if you wanted to even put your battery for a trolling motor in there, you can. To balance the, you know, your boat, you've got a choice between the tank well and the rear and the tank well in the hatch for a battery for weight. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Cool. But you can also angle, don't forget, like just because you're you know, you don't have to keep, this is one comment I've seen too, you don't have to keep your fish finder at that exact angle. Like people are acting like, oh, well, nice glare on, you know, that's going to be coming off the screen or whatever. And if you're standing or if you're sitting up high, I think that's a great angle. But if you don't want it at that exact angle, then just, you know, you've got mounts that are adjustable. You can still adjust it in there. You know, it's still going to be pretty darn in there and flush, especially if you have a 7-inch unit. It's going to be all the way up in there or 8 or not, some 9s. So you can still change the angle, you know, for sure.
Yeah, you still got room for improvement. You know, because I mean, I'll be honest, when I first saw that walkthrough video, I'm like, I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, man, that angle. But if you're standing, it's perfect. But, you know, then I started really thinking about it. I'm a little slow to the punch, not going to lie. I'm like, well, you just put it on a, you know, Yak Attack mount and pivot it up or down, you know, duh, yeah. Problem solved.
Exactly. And that's a security bar there for stand assist strap. Or if you unscrew that, there's inserts. So I think some people will find a way to utilize those inserts to maybe mount their fish finder as well. So we'll see. And you can, it's actually crazy, but on the top of that landing, kind of basically just above where that, that bungee is for the iPhone holder on either side of those triangle pieces that come down. You can't really tell, but you're right there. Yeah. To your, just to your right. There's a gap up above right there. Yep. For a Yak Attack gear track to go across, makes a bridge across the whole thing.
Oh, the cool thing
is your iPhone will still fit in there even when that track is there. So if you wanted to put a track there because your rod butt, I mean, your rod staging grooves are all kind of going up and down, making these, you know, triangle shapes there and these V shapes. So there's not a lot of good spots right there, but you can put a gear track right there. That's what it's made for. And similarly, at the very bottom, right above that scupper, that flat area there is made for the gear track to go there. So if you want to put one there, or you could put, Scott Butcher had an idea, a really good idea, to put a mighty mount in the, where the iPhone holder recess is, and maybe right that's here. Where you, or just below there and that on the angle on the wall, right okay. there. Yep. And you could put your fish finder, hook it up that way to that mighty mount there with the Yak Attack universal mount or whatever you want to use. But anyway,
that's slick.
There's a lot going on there. And that whole cubby, if you don't use a fish finder, which often I don't, that's just a cubby. Just like my, there's several Plano bags that fit perfectly in there. There's some groove fishing tackle boxes and Plano boxes that fit perfectly in that size there. You could throw extra baits and stuff up in that cubby. It's just a cubby. Okay. So if you don't want your fish finder there, it's still just a cubby that's useful to everybody. So everything that's recessed and that's been integrated into this kayak has about 3 or 4 or 5 other purposes to where, okay, if you don't want an anchor wizard, no big deal. It's just a cup holder. You know, if you don't want to use a fish finder, oh, awesome. I've got a cubby there and now I'm freed up to use my iPhone holder to take selfies and live stream or whatever. So there's lots of other purposes to everything on the kayak and it doesn't kind of put you in a box in any way.
Right on. So we got no flat water, no spinning rods, no fish finder. I'm just compiling to the list as we go on.
That's my perfect, you know, dream right there.
Well, and that's just it, right? Like you've always been a guy that kind of keeps it simple for the most part, right?
I mean,
obviously there's times where you utilize, you know, a motor and things like that where you see fit. But I mean, let's be honest, you know, you're again, river guy, a lot of river thought gone into this boat, which is super sweet.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Ken Moore says, why doesn't his Trolley have a mini fridge? I'm sure you could figure out a way to do that with that hatch or something. Maybe we should come out with a cooler liner for that front, you know, that deep, a cooler bag for that deep hatch in the front. That'd be nice.
I mean, I'm sure if there's anybody that could figure it out, it's probably Fletch, right? Fletch is like the king of rigging. Take it down to Fletch. He'll get you set up, man.
He'll do it. He'll do it for sure.
Little mini fridge action.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this front handle, man.
Front handle is cool. It's a cam track system I came up with, and it's a, you know, it's a, basically it's a cam strap that's seven foot long on a track that's about eight inches long, a custom made Yak Attack gear track with the vertical tie downs. And so basically you can pull the whole thing out and extend it. The excess goes into your front hatch, just throw it in there. But But the cool thing is you can loosen it up to whatever. If you want to loosen it to, you know, just 6 inches or to a foot, you know, you've got that molded in, I mean, that sewn in handle there, and you can carry it like that. If you need to, you know, tow your kayak to or from the lake or river or whatever, you can just extend it all to 7 foot or make it a big loop into, I guess, about 3.5 foot loop and put it over your shoulder and drag. Or what I like to do is put it around my waist, whether with a belt loop or just around the entire waist with a carabiner, and just walk like I'm just pulling a sled, you know, like a NFL nice. Offensive lineman drill or something. You're just pulling a sled. And the key is with this boat, if it's flat and you drag any boat flat, they feel almost weightless. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know we got the Boondocks landing gear integrated in there, or a little U where you can kind of seamlessly integrate flush their landing gear. You can use any other cart too, by the way, obviously. But I mean, honestly, just dragging it is pretty darn light, and it's made from this super durable AquaTuff. It's, you know, highest strength plastic out there, tested in all the test studies. So I mean, just drag it straight without weight. If you have weight in a boat, that's different. You know what I mean? Or if you're sure. lifting it up by the handle and dragging it right on the keel in one specific spot that's getting all the beat, you know, the beating and the scrapes and scratches. Sure, but when it's flat, guys, I mean, I know it's you know, obviously it's a lot of money to spend $15.99 on a kayak, but I promise you, you're not gonna hurt the Scholey dragging it flat. And when you do it, that's the right way to do it. So extend the handle all the way out. The beauty of this cam track system and this handle is, you know, you can take it off and use it as a stand assist handle. You can take the whole thing completely off when you get to the water. That way your front track and that front, which is in that groove, right, that rod staging groove, is completely clean. And now your rod's all laying there and there's no handle anywhere up front to get a bait caught on or whatever. No handles. So, and you could put a spotlight there, GoPro, you could do whatever you want. Just take it, put a Roto Grip, you know, up there if you want from Yak Attack. So it's kind of a cool system that's super versatile. We didn't say this in the video. I actually use mine to real quickly just even secure it to my truck. You know, just take the handle so it's already there, secure it, take off. So anyway,
super cool.
It's cool. It's just very versatile.
Question on this. Ryan Van Tine's asking, what is the exact length of the drag rope? When I drag weight, I like to pull my yak up next to me, grab a pick, switch rods. Pulling his yak.
Well, it's perfect. I mean, it's like 7 foot long. So the cool thing is you can pull all that slack out and make it one single strand, right? That's 7 foot. It might be even a little bit longer than that. A little longer than seven. I'm not sure. It's about seven. I'm not sure what we finally ended up on, but we made sure that it was, if you make it into a loop, Ryan, and you put it over your shoulder, then it's going to be dragging flat on the ground. It's not going to be, unless you're just crazy tall, maybe it would lift up a little bit, but it depends on what you want to do. So if you take it 7 foot all the way out, what you want to do, Ryan, is drill a hole in the very end of your cam strap, the very end that's going to go through the buckle. If you drill a hole in that, then you now have a hole there for a carabiner. So I put a carabiner, you know, on my belt loop or my shorts, or you could, and now if you wrap it around your waist, you're taking up a lot of that slack. Now your whole length's getting shorter. So if you want it shorter, you want your kayak closer to you, that's cool. If you want it to be a full, you know, 7 feet away from you, basically, then you just have to carabine it, that carabiner to a belt loop or something like that. And then it's 7 feet away, because some people want it a little bit closer. Some people want it further away. If it's too close, when you're waiting, it does start to bump into you and stuff like that. If it's too far away, then you can't grab that handle and grab it for support when you need it. And actually, that's a good tip too. When you're waiting in water that's treacherous and slippery, wade by grabbing that handle, right? That front handle of your kayak, grab it and then hold on to it as you're waiting. And then if you ever slip, you can just put pressure on the kayak to catch yourself, so you don't actually slip and fall and hurt yourself. So you do want it close by. But yeah, that's a good question.
That's slick, well, dude.
I got a question. Like, so as far as that strap goes, what about the people who have to drop in from not so welcoming spots? Does that, I mean, will that handle the tension? Is that tough enough up there? Yep. Even if you got stuff in the boat?
Yeah, it will. It should, at least I should say, because we actually made sure it was so those vertical tie downs are not on a T bolt. They're actually, and there's a stud on the bottom. And they go into an insert, both of them into the, so that's how every handle on the market is done, right? Two bolts yep. into two inserts. So it's actually done the exact same way everything else is. Now, the strength, the only difference is now what's the breaking point of either the vertical tie downs themselves, which is they're pretty darn strong. I would think that's a pretty high breaking point, or the strap itself. And I can't remember what pound, you know, breaking strength that strap is, but that's, you know, your, you know, lightweight probably polyethylene
350, 400 pounds
strap. Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of weight. So I would can't imagine you're going to have any issues with that at all. But if you ever thought you were, you could always switch them to those eye bolts up there instead of the vertical tie downs. If you think that's where it could fail, you know, those just regular round metal eye bolts. And I think Yak Attack even has those as well.
They do. Yep.
So you could change it. But I don't think the strap's going to break. I think you're going to be good to go because we're in inserts. And so with the T-bolts, that's a good question, Jay. Very perceptive, because you're probably assuming that those are T-bolts in there. And why wouldn't your brain think that? Because that's what those vertical tie downs typically, you know, get attached to a track by. But if you're pulling, like you're saying, somewhere steep, the force is going out of the track. You know what I'm saying? It's not going straight up like when you're lifting it. It's actually going out of the track. So that's why we had to make sure there was inserts in there. That was something that James came up with. It was pretty clever, for sure, to make sure we had enough strength there so that that system would work.
No, it's super cool, man, because, you know, like Jay was talking about with that weight in the boat and dragging it and all that stuff, man, you have to definitely make sure it's gonna hold up to the abuse that kayak fishermen like to put boats through, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You're taking too much stuff if you break a vertical tie down or a cam strap with how much weight. With you not in the boat, if you have that much weight and you break those,
yeah,
that's your first sign that you've already defeated the purpose of the word kayak and kayak fishing.
He's already talking. Oh, go ahead.
Phil Robertson said the video Jeff Little has out already has him taking it up over a small bank because dragging flat was too easy.
Yeah, that was funny that Jeff did make a comment in his video that they were accessing the water. Somebody's, you know, manicured lawn, you know, so it was like real easy to drag. And he said, just because of that, I'm going to go over here to the woods to the side of these little, it's like, you know, logs and sticks on the bank and go up a hill and around to get my money's worth. So that's what he did. And that right there in the back, you can see those Torquedo bump outs, by the way. Yep. And then you also see the cool little cute mini 3/4-inch cam straps on the tank well, which is something that people have been falling in love with as well. And I've been shocked at how many people have actually commented that their favorite part of this kayak is, you know, those buckles or the catchboard recess or the rod storage in the tank well or this handle on the bow. There's been so many people have said so many different things are their favorite part. You know, the rod butt stagers, the hook sharpeners. It's been crazy to see how many people have said so many different things. That's what's blown me away, which is what is very exciting. But anyway, the cam straps are one of my favorite things back there in the tank well, because you can now secure things down really tight, because bungees, you have to have the right size item. It's got to fit just right. And now we've actually have two security bars on the floor of that tank well on the very bottom. So you actually have complete downward compression, which you'll see on my XI5 motor guide video. I actually posted one already showing how I'm using those to put downforce on my battery to hold it back there. Because without downforce from the actual ground of the tank well, then I don't know if you can see, there's one of them you can see in that picture. Yeah, to the right there, you can see that the very top left, it's hard to see that security bar, but you can see that strap for the seat is connected to it on the top left of that photo. Right where that red back dot here. Is. Yeah, right yep. there. Yep, that security bar on the floor there, on the very floor. As you go down, yep. You can barely see that kind of.
There was.
Yeah, there's probably a better picture of it. But anyway, it's that's there here. It is right there. So you've got one of those on both sides of that tank well. So you can actually have pure downforce. So if you have a small dry bag or something that's not even the height of the tank well, you could, like, I actually cinched down tight a single thin Plano box to the floor there just to see, like, wow, I can get compression down as well. So, and you can see we embossed American made in that tank well, which is pretty cool. And that picture above there, you can kind of see where that was happening. We also embossed the word Cataracte in that front tank well, which was kind of cool. It's our little love letter to the shoal bass, since that's the fish of the waterfall. That's that one there says Crescent.
Crescent.
But yeah,
right.
If you open up that tank well, it's kind of cool. Inside there, it says Cataracte, scientific name for the shoal bass. So that was kind of cool being able to add that little touch as well. There's a lot going on, man. It's, I don't know if you can see it. It's on the top of that, but definitely a lot going on. The Anchor Wizard and Trying to think what else we haven't touched on here. There's Anchor Wizard Recess. Let's see. Here we go. Product integrations. Power pole is there. You can easily, the four hole pattern is there for you. We don't have inserts there. We have a rear hatch where you can get inside and actually put washers or backing plates and nuts on it. We think that's a little bit more structurally sound, and you know, you're not going to break any inserts or have any potential failures in molding when you do it that way. So, and it's pretty easy. So that's how we did that. But the rod saver, obviously we talked about that. It can be a paddle park as well. So that's cool. We integrated the catchboard slot. We talked about that. We integrated the Boondocks landing gear. And the cool thing, here's a secret, the Boondocks landing gear, that little U shape that the recess where that landing gear goes in flush, it actually has another use. That's actually the perfect spot when you're strapping your kayak down to a trailer. Particularly a trailer or the top of a roof rack or whatever, that's the perfect spot. Yeah, that U-shape there. Scott Butcher showed me a video the other day where he put it upside down on his trailer, and that groove is the exact shape of his bar, and it fits in there perfectly flush. So it just holds like that. You actually have a couple other grooves. Actually, that cup holder there, you can see, you can't really tell in this picture, but there's a little smaller groove on the other side of the cup holder, which is just out of that photo, a little groove that it looks like it might be for a paddle to sit, but it's actually a little groove for your strap. And that Yak Attack Roto Grip that comes standard with it as well. There's a groove down right there that is perfect for your straps as well, for the exact spot where they hit when you're in the back of a truck. So some little small, little hidden features like that are pretty cool. And you can see, but that's definitely a cool thing. The Roto Grips coming with it was very important to me. And the fact that you can move those Roto Grip paddle holders out and turn them, not just perpendicular like they are now, but you can turn them parallel with the boat, which gives you the ability to use it for, again, a million things, a rod, a paddle, a net. You have so many options in the way you really want to fish out of this boat. It's kind of mind boggling. It'll take you a few trips to kind of figure it out.
Super cool, man. Super cool.
Yep. And then there's that's the fish finder. You can see how nice that fish finder looks in there. You can put one of those shaded shields on the top of it too.
Sure.
And obviously you can reduce that glare. I love that angle. I just love it. It looks really good too. But that's my 10-inch Garmin. So if you have a 10-inch, you can see how nice that looks. And the other ones will actually go completely inside there. Mine, the guts are actually back inside there, but the lip of the outside of that 10-inch unit fits perfectly on the kayak plastic right there.
That's super cool, man.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
Super cool. Then the hull is kind of the last.
Yeah, it kind of is. You got this nice flat hull, you know, going to be good for the river, for maneuverability, for water to slide underneath it so you can ferry and go across currents real easy. But those three tracks right there, it's, you know, true to the crescent form, right? We got these three channels in every one of our kayaks. And that actually, the depth and the right width of those are what hold enough water still to be a really good tracking flat water boat. That's really what it comes down to. We don't have a lot of, you know, keel sticking down. I didn't want a lot of stuff protruding on the bottom. You can see the transducer scupper there. It's 11 foot for, we haven't really talked about the specs, but it's 11 foot 10, 77 pounds, all said and done. And we don't have a skid plate. We got the Aqua Tough plastic in there. We're molding extra thick in that spot. You're not going to have any issues. I guarantee you that. For a long, long, long time. I mean, I originally had the cheapest, thinnest, you know, ocean kayak there was, the Caper. And it took me a long time to wear the keel of that down. And we just didn't want to put any inserts there because that's where a lot of failure can happen. So we kept it like that. And technology's just changed so much over the years that we just felt like it wasn't necessary to have a skid plate there anymore.
Super sweet, man. Just an awesome rig all around.
Cool. What is it? 34 inches wide. I didn't say that. 450 pound weight capacity. And it's a lot going on.
So the Anchor Wizards are already available. You could buy those straight from Anchor Wizard. A lot of kayak shops sell them.
I don't know if there's a custom one though. I don't know if they put out the custom ones, Josh.
It's custom. So there that is a I little bit know.
Custom. Okay. Yeah, they have the reason why is because the Anchor Wizards have a little bit of a lip on the bottom.
Okay.
I know I've got one somewhere around here, but they have like a lip on the bottom. And for that Anchor Wizard recess, which also doubles as a cup holder, to work, we needed it to have that lip removed off the bottom. So you could Dremel yours off and DIY it, no problem. But they're having a separate SKU Anchor Wizard that's going to come out, and that actually has a mounting plate that goes on there first. Okay. And then your Anchor Wizard can pop onto their mounting plate. So it'll just take a couple of well nuts. You drill it into the outside rim of that cup holder and then pop it in. It's kind of like that little bit that's sticking out. It's the principle of the one power pole versus two power poles. Two, you're not going to move, right? It's not going to swivel.
Sure.
So once you have 2 points there, even though it's not like 12 o'clock, six o'clock or 3 and 9 or whatever it is, it's still going to hold it secure. So that's the plate that you'll be seeing soon from Anchor Wizard. You can actually message them if to find out when it's available. I meant to message Cameron with Anchor Wizard to find out when that's going to be out, but they'd already sent us some of the samples. So I know they're pretty much ready to rock and roll with that new product.
Right on, man. I didn't know it was like a special custom Anchor Wizard. I thought it was just the stock ones off the shelf. That's super cool.
Kinda. You can teamed up
with them.
You can still, it's the same thing. All they did is just cut the rim off, or the majority of the rim. There's a little bit of the rim left where it's got to hit that landing for you to be able to, drill into it with those, with a couple of well nuts I'd recommend. And you could DIY the original one, but the bracket's just cool because you can pop it out if you want and pop it back in. Of course, like I've mentioned on other podcasts, if you pop it out, you don't really, there's not a lot of use for it unless you're popping it out to put it into another Scholey, because it's not no longer, it doesn't really work on anything else but the Scholey, right? Because it's really, I guess, unless you got another one of those mounting brackets and put it in your kayak somewhere else.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure. No, that's cool, man. That's cool. So, you touched on the length, 11 and a half feet, right?
11-10. Yep.
11-10. So not quite just 12. Shy of 12. But like I've seen a lot of comments pop up like, why not 12 or 12 and a half or 13? Like, was there a reason why you guys didn't go that
big? Yeah, I was kind of forward thinking about, hey, if I want to hit this middle of the bell curve first, I feel like to be a good river boat, I wanted to kind of err on the lower 12 or the low, high 11s to be maneuverable. But then if you get too low, it becomes too small. And yeah, it's maneuverable. It's great for rivers and great for little guys like me, which, by the way, this boat's really not designed for someone. It is for someone my size, but if I had my perfect boat, it would not be 11-10 for Drew Gregory. It'd be shorter, but that's neither here nor there. I wanted to make sure we hit the middle of the bell curve and then also had room to go up and down whenever, we decide to make another one that might be bigger or smaller or whatever. So if you were if you were 11 foot, going down to 10 is going to be hard to make an adult size kayak at 10 foot. It's just tough to fit a good number of people in a 10 foot kayak, which the ultralight's already, it's a great boat, but it's the Crescent makes it 10 foot, but it's, again, we're not going to recommend that to someone who's, 6'3" and 6'5", whatever, and 270 pounds or 200 feet either. So I wanted to make sure we had room to go down and still have a decent sized kayak if we moved down, to hold still a fair number of people without making it where it's only like a little kid's boat, basically, or a youth boat, or a women's boat, maybe, or a small guy like me boat,
Not a and Brian
room
boat.
To go up too. So
we're against flat water, no spinning rods against
it's just like looking
boat.
At you in a Flint, dude. It looks like your feet are your toes are sticking out past the bow.
But it works. It works, right? And it's great for rivers.
Yeah.
Just like I'm sure this would be great for me in a river too.
It's super stable. You can stand up in it, and it's got 450-pound weight capacity. You'd be fine in this thing. It's the first review that went on YouTube is a gentleman who a super nice guy. And from what I'm hearing from Robert Weicker, he's probably one of the harshest critics on kayaks review wise. He's owned about 40, he said in his video, and he is 6'8". I can't remember if he said he was 275 or what. He's 6'8", and he was raving about the Scholey and the weight capacity, the stability, and how it paddled. And he was using it on flat water, and he was super impressed. A lot of the rivers, that's actually a cool thing.
It's been
a blessing in disguise that a lot of the first shipments of Scholeys went to an area of the country like Tennessee, where there was a lot of rain, and so all the rivers were blown out. Even Brad Hicks got his, and he's like, "Man, all this rain, I can't." can't even take it out on the river. So a lot of the first reviews are flat water.
Sure.
And everyone is saying like, dude, this thing's paddling great on flat water. It's tracking great. And yet still, you know, maneuvering really well so they can see how it's going to be great on the rivers too. But this guy was took it on flat water is a pretty harsh critic. So I was really impressed to see and just excited to hear how much he loved it. We never imagined a guy that size would have that much comfort in the boat. So he was like, I got plenty of room. I got a whole another foot peg, you know, adjustment to go. So I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah. Heck I'm pretty sure from like past influence designs. I mean, like the Kusa or the Kusa HD, those are good river boats, but they do well on flat water too. So I would expect nothing less than the Scholly to do well on flat water too. I mean, you know, and plus with all the new, I don't want to say technology, but all the new stuff that's out, you know, and all the additions, it's going to be, and if a 6'8" guy could fit in that thing, holy cow, that's a tall dude. That's really tall. I expect nothing but great things to come from it.
Nah, it's sick, dude. And kudos to you, James, the whole Crescent crew, man. You guys put a ton of work into this, and I mean, really, really thought it through, man. And like I said earlier, you and I are friends, but I wasn't, you know, trying to kiss your butt. But I think you guys really set a new bar, new standard for kayaks with just all the small integrations that you guys came up with, dude. That's huge, man. And kudos to you guys for doing that. Like,
I appreciate it.
That's
pretty cool. Matter of fact, the little small things, we didn't even talk about the hook sharpener stone. We don't even have a picture of that yet on the website, but I've got some. I think we're going to get them on there in the line cutters recesses, those small things.
Yeah.
And then I appreciate it. I've gotten so many calls from people and messages from people in the industry that have said the same thing. And you guys know who you are. And thank you so much for calling and saying those nice things. It's been a long time coming, a lot of hard work, a couple years of, you know, work to get this all to fruition. So it's not been easy. I know it's easy to see a lot of, you know, I've been fortunate with a lot of success on the tournament trails and, you know, past kayak designs. And it seems like this one's going to be a hit too, but man, guys, it's been a long, long road. Life's been challenging. Life's been tough having the family and a new little girl. And we all go through, you know, peaks and valleys, and it's been a challenging, trying time, but I feel like it's, you know, my wife and I and the family, we've grown our character. The whole Crescent family, we've kind of grown together, and it's made us all better people in the end, and just happy to be where we are. So I know I just want to say that because I know a lot of folks out there probably, you know, you might be going through a tough time right now. You might be going through a valley in your life, but, you know, there's a time to plant, you know, and there's a time to harvest. You know, that's what the Bible says, and there's no doubt that there was a lot of planting and just kind of cultivating that and just hard work that went into this project, man. So, you know, nothing great comes from just kind of like lucking into it, not hard work. So if you guys are in a position where you're in a downtime, like, you know, plow through it and fight through, guys. And I'm thinking about you because life's not always easy. And this definitely wasn't easy. So just proud that we were able to kind of finally get it out there and you guys can see it and enjoy it, make memories. That's the main thing. Make memories in it with your families and it'll last a lifetime because we only have so much time on this good earth. So
amen to that, dude. Congrats again, brother. It's super cool to see the next phase in your career, and you know, it's already started off with a bang. A lot of talk since this has been released, a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. Obviously we've seen the chat blow up all night long about, you know, guys just pumped to get theirs or have gotten theirs and gotten out on the water and things like that, man. It's awesome to see. And kudos to you, man. Like you said, you've been on a roller coaster ride, you know, and just the past 2 years has been, I know, ups and downs for you, man. And you've kept your head up, kept your nose to the grindstone, and came out on top, brother. So congrats to you, your family, the whole Crescent crew on all their hard work and dedication, dude. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. Thanks to Paddle and Finn. You guys are awesome. You guys are just consistently putting out quality content. I mean, all your hosts are awesome and the shows are amazing. You get great guests. So you guys are crushing it. And I just want to thank you guys for doing what you do, because what you've done is a labor of love. It's no one's getting rich. We've talked about this before. No one's really getting rich in this industry. We do it because we love it. So yeah. Thanks to you guys for doing that.
If somebody's getting rich, let me know where my bank account's at because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, for real, man. As soon as I got home from the Scholey launch, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually right before I left, our AC went out. My wife was like, yeah, the AC's not working. And of course she's got two young kids, a 6-month-old, a 4-year-old. And they're going crazy in this heat. And then next thing you know, we get back and I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's just something small, but no, the whole thing went out. We had to replace that. And it made sense to do the furnace. So $13,000 later. And I'm like, yeah. So that's apparently what these things
better win.
Cost these
you better
days.
Win some tournaments.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Right. So, but it's a good timing to finally have this product come out and maybe get some income finally off this project. So, but anyway,
instead of ordering one Scholey, everybody has to order three.
Yeah. Please order more.
Here you go.
No, it's awesome, man. Go ahead.
Thanks for coming on, man. Yeah. It's cool. I haven't seen you in a long time. So it's,
been a while.
I like seeing you doing well out there. It's pretty cool, man. You're kind of cleaning house and, back-to-back champion. I mean, you're doing great, man. I mean, you're out
there. Thanks, man. Isn't that crazy? First trip in this kayak at winning the Bassmaster tournament. That's just like divine intervention, man. It's kind of like I remember a guy one time who got attacked by a goose when he was designing another kayak.
Yeah, so. We saw that. So, you're definitely. Anyway. I could see bird watching in your future for sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. Like, actually, I listened to y'all's last podcast, and I remember Brian, you said something like, "Yeah, that Drew Gregory, he's got some sort of horseshoe, or something."
Oh yeah.
I don't know, man, but I do feel like there was some divine intervention going on with the launch of these, both the original Kusa and this kayak. Some cool stuff that happened to win back to back now has been awesome. So, and I love the tournament stuff, and excited to start. Got a big gap until the next Bassmaster tournament and to finish off the Bassmaster kayak series and on Pickwick in October. Heck big gap. Man. But so I'm going to fish some Hobie stuff and some KBF stuff and try to get into the running in those series here as well. So we'll see if I can pull that off. So should be fun. That's so cool. Keep follow along, guys.
I like it, man. Yeah. Crush him. You've been doing awesome, man. It's good to see. And man, I'm just looking forward to the future for you, dude. You're a good quality dude, and nobody deserves it more than you, man. I mean, a lot of guys look at you and think it comes easy, right? And they don't know all the work and dedication you put into that, dude, which is huge. And it's hard to do being a family man, So kudos to you on that.
So hard. So hard.
I'd like to add, you're such an inspiration that I created a new group today called the Flatwater Commoners. So anybody want to go on there? And I invited Brian and Drew, the first people. So everybody feel free to get on there.
Hey, man.
And I created a group, Spinning Rod, everybody.
Yeah.
You guys know I'm just messing around. And
I know.
Obviously, everyone out there I think knows that. But, this is what got me into the sport. So I'm going to stick with, I'm going to always try to keep it simple, stick with rivers and creeks, moving water, and keep it simple and lightweight. And that's going to be my deal. I'm not going to stray from who I am and what the reason I got into kayak fishing to begin with. I'm going to try to keep the kayak and kayak fishing. Am I going to add a motor guide? Yes, of course. I'm going to have two Scholeys, one with a motor, Garmin, power pole, all the stuff, you know what I mean? But then I'm going to have one that's stripped down lightweight for those rivers and creeks. And that's probably the one I'm going to always try to find fish, that can be caught in those kind of waters first. So.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah.
Appreciate everybody on the comments.
I love it. Everybody.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Everybody that tuned in. Thank you so much. We're here every Thursday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock out on the West Coast. We're talking to guys like Drew and folks from all across the fishing industry. I know we're streaming on your channels as well. So our folks, go follow Drew, all Drew's stuff. Drew's folks, give us a follow, man. We're pumping out content nonstop. So we appreciate everybody tuning in. If you're playing the fantasy fishing game, the teams should be unlocked. So you should be able to set your lineups for this weekend. We got a Hobie on Chick, right? Hobie and Chicks this week. Mm-hmm. Is there a KBF event this weekend too? I don't think so. I think it's just Hobie and Chick. But yeah, congrats, brother. Always a pleasure talking to you, and look forward to the next one.
Yeah, man.
Jay,
see you, ICAST maybe. You gonna be there?
Come on, really? Of course I'll be there.
All right, I figured.
I bought you dinner last time, so you got to buy me dinner this time. How about that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm just kidding, man. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there for sure. First drinks on me is a congrats on the new boat, bro.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. We will see you guys next week. Everybody, as always, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.